this is the title for the day, and the title is this: The Winner's Mentality. Somebody say, the winner's mentality. So the hat that I have on is the Indiana Hoosiers hat. Just this previous Monday, they had the NCAA championship, and they had the Gonzaga Bulldogs facing the Baylor, whatever their names are. And Gonzaga, up until this point, had not lost any games. They made it to the final championship game, and had they won, they would have been the only team since 1976 that happened to be the Indiana Hoosiers that won every single game of their season and then also won the championship game. If you know anything that happened on Monday, Gonzaga lost. They were, I believe, 31-1 or 32-1. They got all the way to the championship game, and they lost. So still, the Indiana Hoosiers are the only team to what they call run the table. And at that time, they were coached by a man named Bobby Knight, Robert Montgomery Knight. And if you know anything about him, he was a basketball technician. He was brilliant. He was a genius, but he was crazy as a lark. And one of the reasons that made him crazy is that he hated losing so much that he almost hated losing more than he enjoyed winning. And whenever there was a loss, he took it personally. There was one time where his game was in the balance and there was a call that didn't go his way. He took his coach's chair and threw it across the court. He said afterwards, he said, I probably shouldn't have done that, but in the moment, the cost of winning just drove him. Probably drove him a little too much, but it drove him. But however, he became one of the most winning, the winningest coach in college history until someone surpassed him later, because he had a winner's mentality. Maybe he went a little too far to the right and a little too far to the left, and he ended up losing his job at Indiana, but he had a winner's mentality that consumed him. If a man could be that consumed about basketball, how about children of God about their Lord and their Savior? All right, consequently, I'm wearing this hat only because it has the Hoosiers on it, but it also matches this other shirt that I have on that my goddaughter bought for me, and it's none other than Michael Jeffrey Jordan, the G-O-A-T, the greatest of all time. 6 championship rings without a loss. And now, from North Carolina, number 23. I just like the way they used to say it. But if you watched The Last Dance, you found out that Michael was crazy about winning too. Little to the overboard. And all of his teammates said that he wanted to win at all costs. He didn't just want to win at basketball. He wanted to win at gambling. He wanted to win at shooting marbles. He wanted to win at being the first one to get to the locker room. They said that when the plane landed, he would bet that his bags would come out first. He wanted to win at everything. Winning drove him. And it's amazing when you have a winner versus someone who just plays the game. It's different. Don't play spades with me. Don't be my partner if you think it's just a game. Because when I sit down, it's not a game to me. Me and my wife had to part ways over that. We don't play spades together because it's not a game to me. I come to the table to win. I know what was played. I know how many cards were played. I know how many spades was left. Don't be making a mistake because I'm here to win. Now, if it irritates regular people when you have folk on your team who don't have a winning mentality, and the Bible says God always causes us to triumph in Christ, why do we have so many losers in the body of Christ? So many people with a losing mindset, a losing losing mentality. Here's the thing about winning and winning in any arena. Winning doesn't start when the game starts. Winning starts in preparation. So put that back up on the screen. The cost of winning. Winning and winning at a consistent clip, it costs. Going back to Michael Jordan, they had something called the Breakfast Club. And what the Breakfast Club was is that they got up at 6 o'clock in the morning and would come and meet at Michael Jordan's house. They'd work out, eat, go to practice, play, and they did it all the time because they wanted to stay at the highest level that they could be. Anybody who wins consistently has put in the time to win. Now, I ask the question about us Christians, have you put in the effort and the time necessary to win in this life? Now, the reason why I have to bring this up is because, before I move on, is because we are in the age of grace. And we've been in the age of grace ever since Jesus has arisen, and we are in the age of grace. But growing up, many times we weren't taught and preached grace. We were preached works. So in the age that I'm in as a pastor, my father already in 1988 turned this ministry toward grace. I come in and I take over in 2011, and I'm keeping us in the mindset of grace. The only problem with the mindset of grace is people get tricked into laziness. Because I'm saved and because I don't have to do anything to be saved, then I can kind of just do what I want and go through the motions and still make it in. But you may not win. You may not win consistently. Your life may not look like where you're going. Your life may not look like where you are headed if you function and you operate as because of grace, everything is okay. Because of grace, I don't really need to read my word. I'm just going to come to church and pastor's going to preach everything to me. No, don't let me do all your studying for you. Don't let me do all your reading for you unless you don't plan on winning. If you just want to barely make it through and barely make it in, then just do it barely. But if you want to really win in this life, and I'm not talking about just in heaven, I'm talking about right now, and you want to be a witness to the world, there's a cost to win. All right, let's go to this point. Next point. And this is what a lot of grace people will say, it don't take all that. It don't take all that talking in tongues. It don't take all that getting up for 6 o'clock in the morning prayer. It don't take being in church all day, and it doesn't. But just because it doesn't take all that doesn't mean I'm not driven to connect with all that. Well, you fast once a month, or you fast every week, or you always do the Daniel fast. It don't take all that. No, I'm not doing this because I think it's going to make me saved. No, I'm saved by his grace, but I'm doing this because I want to win in this life. I want everything that God has for me. I want it all. And I don't want it to be said to me that I could have had more, but I did so little. That I could have pressed into more, but I was so willy-nilly with the things of God. I just wanted to get in on my mama's religion and my daddy's religion and the founder of the church's religion and Kojic's religion and apostolic's religion and Luther's religion. No, I need something for myself. I want to know God for myself, not just what my daddy said, not just what my mama said, not just what the bishop and the pope and the apostle said. I want to know God for myself. Because when the bishop dies, I want to know him for myself. When the apostle dies, I want to know him for myself. When the pope dies, I want to know him for myself. I'm not looking to other people to get me to God. I want to know God for myself. They don't take all that. Well, let's go to Paul. I'm going to work from there, but I'm bringing Paul up because Paul is writing to the Corinthian church under the age of grace. Paul was a grace preacher. So this is after the cross, after the resurrection. This is out of the law, but let's see some of the things that Paul is talking about.
But when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel.
The first thing he begins to mention is that I'm not taking any credit for this because I'm driven for this. Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. Continue to read. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. So I volunteer for this. If not, then I'm discharging the thing that God has committed to me. Read some more.
What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make full use of my right as a preacher of the gospel.
It don't take all that. It don't take all that, Paul. And so people have told me, it don't take what you do, Andre. You can have a salary at Deliverance Temple. You ain't got to work at General Motors, but I don't want the gospel to be hindered in any way. So if I have to do double duty until we grow to the place where I can be afforded, I don't care, because I'm here not for the rewards of man. I'm here for the rewards of God. If this church could never afford me, I'll work there till I retire, because I'm not preaching for a check. I'm preaching because I'm compelled. I'm preaching because God rescued me. I'm preaching because God delivered me. If I didn't have a church, I'd preach. If I didn't have a microphone, I'd still preach. You'll catch me preaching in my car. You'll catch me preaching on my job. You'll catch me preaching cutting the grass, because I'm compelled to preach. I'm driven to preach. I know it don't take all the things that I do, working midnight shift and preaching on Sunday morning and going to work on Sunday night. I know it don't take all that, but I'm a winner, and it costs to win. And sometimes you have to sacrifice to win. And it may not take all that, but this is what I want to do to glorify my God. I've had other preachers tell me, you crazy. Maybe I am, but I want to win. I want to win in this life. I want to be blessed, and I don't want anybody to be able to say, well, you took all the money from the church. No, no, no. I want you to know, every time I get blessed, God did it. Now, I'm not saying y'all don't give. And just because I don't take a salary doesn't mean y'all don't give. Y'all give, and y'all do well, but God blesses me beyond what y'all can do. God blesses me beyond what the church can do, because I'm not here for the people. I'm here for God. At the end of the day, when I stand before the King, I'm not bringing up Mother Rinka's name, and I'm not bringing up Sister Darlene's name. I'm standing up just me and God, and I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. So if I got a sacrifice tonight, right now, it's worth it. The reward is worth it. Whatever you got to do to get next to God, it's worth it. All right, let's read. Let's read some more. Verse 19. Now, here's the heart that Paul had. Paul had the heart that even though I'm not a slave to anybody, and basically what he means, even though I can do what I want, I put away my own priorities so I can win as many as possible. There's some stuff I won't do. There's some stuff I won't say because I'm trying to win people to the kingdom of God. There's some stuff I know about the scripture that I won't even preach because it will confuse y'all, and I don't want to confuse you. I want to win as many people as possible. I know some Greek and some Hebrew, but I don't preach all the Greek and the Hebrew. I try to simplify it so I can win as many as possible. No, I don't have to stay in Muncie. I can be a more known and a better known preacher somewhere else, but I'm not worried about somewhere else because I'm trying to win as many people as possible right here, right where I am. I'm trying to go against the grain of the scripture that says a prophet is without honor in his own whole time. I'm trying to go against the grain and win as many people as possible and raise the level of my reputation so I can say, yes, I'm honored in my own hometown. I'm trying to do everything I can because I have a winning mentality. And the first thing that lets us know, winning people to the kingdom of God. Let's continue to read.
To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. Mm-hmm. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law.
Whatever you need, I can become. If you need me to preach to you on the golf course, I'll take my golf clubs and go to the golf course, and we'll talk about God on the golf course. If you want to talk about it at BW3's, I'm not too holy to eat at BW3's and eat with you and talk to you about the kingdom of God. Whatever you need me to be, I'm willing to be that. If I'm too wealthy to connect with you, I'm willing to come down and bring myself low. If I'm too low to connect with you, I'm willing to bring myself up high. If I got to dress up to meet with you, or I got to dress down to meet with you, I just want to connect to you and win you to Christ. If you're single, I want to talk to you like I understand what it's being like means to be single. If you're married, I want to talk to you like I understand what it means to be married. If you're addicted, I want to talk to you like I understand what it means to be addicted. Whatever state you're in, I want to be a chameleon. I want to flow like I need to flow so I can win as many as possible. Now, I can't go on that side of town because they shooting on that side of town. Well, I got a gun too. We can all have our guns out, but we about to talk about the things of God. One time I had a call to minister to a young man, and this particular young man had just come home from prison, and word on the street that he had shot somebody else, and the word on the street ended up being true. It ended up being true, and he's back in jail as we speak. Probably will not get out for a long time. But in between that, I got a call from his mother to go and talk to him. Now, I heard he'd been shooting folk. So guess what I did? I went and talked to him. But I put my gun in my back pocket just in case. Because if we're going to shoot, we're going to shoot. But if we're going to pray, we're going to pray. Thank God he didn't want to shoot. He wanted to pray. So I went and prayed with him because I want to do whatever I can to reach whoever I've got to reach. Because I have a winning mentality, winning people to the kingdom of God. Let's continue to read. Sometimes you have to have the wisdom to talk to people and tell people the scripture without quoting a whole bunch of scriptures. Because sometimes they don't understand all the these and the thous. You got to know the word of God enough so you can simplify it and say it in the way they can understand. I can preach the word to you in a rap song. I can take the rap song you listen to. I can take a Jay-Z lyric and turn it around because I got enough scripture in me to preach in a level that you understand. Some of y'all too high and mighty. You don't know how to adjust to people. You don't know how to just sit and talk with people. You don't have to be so deep all the time. You got to know how to package the word of God in a way that somebody can understand. I'm not saying that you got to dumb down God's word. God's word cannot be dumbed down, but I'm saying you don't have to be so deep all the time. Sometimes you have to understand it's about reaching people. I love the example of my father. When you deal with people in the streets, I'm talking about the OGs. All the OGs love Elder H. Royce Mitchell. And they always say he's down to earth. He treat me like I'm a human being. He's a bishop and he's an apostle, but he's not too big to go shake somebody's hand that's drunk and shake somebody's hand that smell like weed, because he remembers where he came from. Now, because I grew up in his household, I don't have as long a time in the streets as he did, but I still try to keep the same mindset. How bad would it be for him to have that legacy? And I have the legacy that I'm untouchable. You can't touch me. I got 17 armor bearers before you come talk to me. No, I ain't got to be that sadiddy. No, we can talk at the barbershop. We can talk at the park. We can talk on the job. I just want somebody to see Jesus in me. That's what Paul said. All right, let's continue to read. Verse 22. Now, to the weak, that doesn't mean that we do everything everybody else does, but it means we pull down the facade and we become transparent and we let people know what you see today wasn't what it always was. I was talking to somebody who was struggling and they was like, Pastor, I know you probably never dealt with this, but I got lust in my life. Well, it's become time for me to testify. Because you ain't the only brother that had lust in your life. You see me now, but I haven't always been that way. So to the weak, you become weak. You show them your wounds. You show them your weaknesses. There's some stuff I had to cry over. There's some stuff I had to go to the altar over. This didn't happen overnight. I didn't get delivered overnight. I confess my deliverance consistently and continually, because if it wasn't for the hand of God, I'd be lost. I'd be messed up. And when I got done testifying, he dried his eyes and said, if you can make it, I can make it too. That's the point. To the weak, we become weak. And sometimes when I preach and put myself in stuff that I ain't never been in. Because I want to do it from a way that it'll hit you, but I do it from my perspective. I talk about things so that you can feel that you can make it. So stop always acting like you're strong all the time. Every day. I've been saved all day. No evil have I done. Yeah, that was Monday. But when we caught you on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, you had some trouble. Just tell the truth. I got some struggles, but I'm trying to win in this life. Verse 23. I took too long setting this up. This is really what I wanted to get to. So what we're talking about, we're not talking about salvation. You're saved. You're saved by grace through faith. But would you put that back up? I put some arrows and pointed to something. It says, that I may share in its blessings. See, blessing requires a different level of winning than just I'm saved. And I want you to understand that, because sometimes people get mad at God because he's blessing over here and it don't look like he's blessing them. But many times you haven't put in what it takes to walk in the level of blessing that somebody else is walking in. So Paul says, I do all this, but let me be honest. I do this so I can share in the blessing. I'm not just doing this because I'm such a grand person. I'm doing this because God has promised me some stuff in this life, and I want some of that stuff right now. All right, so let's see if we can keep going. Let's put the next point up.
Participation trophy.
All right, anybody heard of the participation trophy mentality? This is what that means, is that now with some of our kids, they don't give out a first, second, third. So the person who's worked hard to get first, he don't get a first place medal. And the person who's worked hard to get second and third, they don't get a first, second, and third. Everybody get the same trophy because everybody participated. That's nice and that's cute, but that ain't life. The person that worked the hardest to get first, sometimes they get blessings that the person that got 25th don't get. And so, yes, salvation we all can participate in, but we all ain't going to get blessed the same. We all ain't going to have the same blessing. You can't just slip and trip and trick into blessings. Blessings cost. You got to win for this blessing. So let's continue to read. Being in church and being like, this is how we go around the mulberry bush, that's the wrong mentality for God. You need to run and run like you're running a race for a prize. So when runners run, especially sprinters don't stand up when they say, on your mark, get set. They don't just stand up and look around. They get down, they get in their blocks, and they get ready. They don't look at each other. They're listening for the sound so they can shoot out, because they're trying to win a prize. Some of y'all act like there's no reward in God. You just go through the motions, and it's okay. You say, but you ain't going to get what I get. You're not going to walk in what I walk in. And don't be mad at my anointing. Don't be mad at my blessing. Don't be mad at my joy. If you're not running like we're going to get a prize. run in such a way as to get the prize. Next verse. Now, the Olympic Games came from what they did back in that day. So Paul was making the parallel that everybody that competes in these games, they go through strict training because they're trying to win the gold. They're trying to win the prize. You know, Olympics come around every 4 years. And so us as casual spectators, sometimes the first time we are introduced to somebody is when we see them on the Olympics, but that ain't the first time they started. They started a long time ago. Do you know that people were preparing now, trying to make an Olympics from 8 years from now? Because they understand they got to go through strict training. You know, at the end of our meals, when they ask us, do you want some dessert? We like, yeah. You know, that trainer can't say yeah. I can't eat carrot cake. I can't eat ice cream and sherbet. I can't have what you have. I can't have a pop, not even a diet pop, because I'm under strict training. I'm working on something. And the Bible says this, Paul says this, they do that to get a corruptible prize. They do that to get something that's going to collect moth and dust, but we have an incorruptible prize, but some of us won't even train at all. We don't want nothing to inconvenience us at all. Don't inconvenience me with nothing. Everything has to be tailor-made and packaged for me to live this Christian life. Well, you a weak, wishy-washy, unwinning Christian. Now, you might still make it to heaven. I'm not trying to put you in hell, but I'm saying, why wouldn't you want to win? All right, let's put this point up. Training for reigning. The Bible says we shall reign in this life through Christ, but it takes training in order to reign. And it takes training in this day and age, in this life, to win in this life. You have to discipline yourself. Oh, let me just say it like the old preachers used to say it. You got to crucify your flesh. Oh, no, we ain't supposed to preach that under grace. Let me say, if you want to win, you got to crucify your flesh. Your flesh always wants to be in the driver's seat. It always wants what it wants, when it wants, how it wants it, but it's going to cause you to miss out on some of the blessings of God, and so you're going to have to put yourself under subjection. Don't call me talking about, is this sin? If you have to ask, it's wrong for you. May not be wrong for her, but it's wrong for you. If you got to ask me, it's wrong. No, I'm not here to have a rule book over your head. You work out your own salvation. But what you have to understand, in order to win, you got to train. Oh, y'all don't like that kind of preaching. 1 Corinthians 9:26. Paul said, I don't run just like somebody running aimlessly. I don't act like a boxer just throwing my punches anywhere. If I'm going to box, number one, I got to get a real person in the ring to spar with me. I got to get hit if I'm ever going to get in the real ring. And some of us in Christianity, we don't want to get hit with nothing. I had 3 headaches in a row. God ain't been good to me. You mean you can't take a headache, baby? Pastor, I didn't have one. I had 3 in a row. Well, whoop-dee-doo. Well, Pastor, they were migraines. Whoop-dee-doo. Do you know folk with migraines are still getting high? Do you folks with migraines still go to work? So what makes you any different? Except for the fact you serve the living God and you can't press past nothing. No, you got no. If you're going to win and you're going to have a winning mentality, you got to let the devil know to his face, it's going to take more than that to take me out. If you're going to come, you better bring all, because I'm not stopping till I get the victory. Everything that God has promised to me, I want it all. I don't just want to sing and shout about stuff that I ain't never seen. No, I want it. And God is reversing things in my life, and things are happening fast. Things are hitting quick, and it's almost scary where blessings are overtaking you. And guess what? I want some more of it. So whatever I was doing, because here's the thing that sometimes we forget. What you were doing to get to that place, sometimes you stop doing that because you get relaxed. I always like to bring up the tortoise and the hare, the rabbit and the turtle. They both started off running in the same race, and the rabbit was kicking tail because he's faster than the turtle. But he looked back at the turtle and was like, oh, shoot, I'm doing good. So he took a break and he relaxed. The worst thing you can do is look at your blessings and start relaxing. Once money started coming into my hand, I start praying, because now I got more money than I know what to do with. So God, where should it go? I need to pray the more. Don't you relax when the blessings come. When the boyfriend comes, don't forget about God. No, buckle into God the more. When the new job comes, don't forget about God. Thank God, but honor God with the job, with the boyfriend, with the money, because you don't want to relax. Whatever got you there, you got to keep doing it. Some NBA players had great college careers, and they pressed their way to college, and they say they did good till they got their first contract. I'm playing to get to that money. But then their careers would have lasted longer if they kept that same drive. But once the checks start rolling in, I made it. No, you can make it more. You could be a Hall of Famer. There are people that had Hall of Fame talent, but the money came in. And some of them same people are broke today. One thing you notice about the Hall of Famers, not only do they make it, but after their career is over, they are always available to stay in the same thing. You got a person like Charles Barkley who makes money just talking about basketball, and he'll say anything over the mic. It don't make him a difference. He'll say whatever he want to say, and he making bukus of dollars because he pressed to be in that top tier. Some of the things that you're in is because you just would not press hard enough and long enough. All right, let's go to the next verse, verse 27.
No.
Have you ever heard the saying, practice what I preach, but not what I do? I don't want to be that kind of pastor. So in order to not be that kind of pastor, let's put the verse back up. In order for me not to be that kind of pastor, I got to strike a blow to my body and make it my slave. I got to tell my body, no, you can't have that. You can't do that. Well, some other pastors did it and got away with it. Listen, I'm my other pastors. No, Andre, you can't have that. See, when I talk to myself, I don't call myself pastor. I sometimes say Dre. Dre, you can't do that. You can't think that way. You can't talk that way and lead the people of God. Whatever you preach to them, you better be doing that and that much more, because I don't want to be disqualified for the prize. I don't want to be like, I preached in your name, I prophesied in your name, but then God says, I never knew you. Well, I knew Mother Rankin. Well, that's good that you knew Mother Rankin, but I didn't know you. So I don't want to be that type of leader, and I try not to be that type of leader, but you shouldn't want to be that type of member sitting in the pews. I'm not talking about nobody now. I'm just talking about some people who may have been here in the past. Not nobody that's here right now. But some of them folk, they come and they sit in the seat, and the person that comes to the seat, they leave them there, and they go home somebody else. What do you mean, Pastor Andre? Because that nice, sweet, hallelujah hugging person, you don't see that person the rest of the week. You don't see them again till Sunday. Catch them throughout the week. They don't hug, they don't wave, they don't smile at nobody. They'll cuss you out in the drop of a hat. They'll lie on you. They'll do all kinds of stuff and dare you to say anything. And then if you mess around and sit in their seat on Sunday, they'll be mad at you for 2-3 months. What kind of lifestyle is that? The person that I pretend to be at church, I want to really be that person. I don't have to, listen, I don't have time to be two-faced. So that's why I tell you my weakness. I'm not perfect, but I am striving. I'm running the race. I'm trying to be what I talk about. I don't always reach it, but it's not because I'm not trying. I'm really trying to be what I talk about. I don't want to ever tell you to read the Bible, and I don't read the Bible. I don't want to tell you to pray, and I don't pray. I don't want to tell you to give, and I don't give. Do you know that some people that will beg for money from the pulpit but won't put any money in themselves? No, I want to be one of the best givers in the house. I want to be able to give. I want my track record to speak for me because I want to be what I'm saying. And in order to do that, sometimes I got to beat my own body. I got to strike a blow to my own body. Something that I've been doing that my family could tell you. I very rarely talk about it. Sometimes you may have heard me talk about it. But for years, before being a pastor, I fast every Sunday morning. Whether I'm preaching or not, I'm fasting. So sometimes when we are eating at 7 o'clock p.m. on Saturday, I'll tell the family I may eat again at 10 or 11 because I'm not going to eat again until after church. Because I'm doing that because I want my body to be under control. When I preach and when I run this ministry, I don't want you to get Dre. I want you to get the anointed person that lives on the inside of me. So sometimes I got to beat my body. And I don't always got to broadcast. When you come and you shake my hand on Sunday morning, I don't shake your hand like this. Well, you know, I've been fasting, so I can't really give you a strong shake. No, I shake your head strong. I smile. I'm running around here like a chicken with my head cut off with energy because I'm trying to give God everything I have. I don't want it to be said that he placed me in a position and I just didn't care. I just didn't put any effort. I didn't put any energy in it. No. In my marriage, I want to put energy in it. In my family, I prayed and cried for these babies. So I don't want to be an absentee, deadbeat father. Can't never show up at their games. Can't never do nothing for them. Can't never spend no time with them. No, I pray for these kids. So I want to be the best father they'll ever know. But it takes sacrifice. Nobody does anything great lazily. Nobody does anything excellent haphazard. It costs to win. It costs to be great. It costs to have high-level blessings of God. Now, some people we're looking at, well, what about these unsaved people that are blessed? Because even what we don't understand about sometimes unsaved people, they work hard, though. They work hard for their money. Beyonce, when she got all that money, but don't play. When Beyonce get on that stage, every step is right. She performs like she giving her last. But sometimes we want to come up and you want to sing a song to God, and you ain't got even two shoes that match. You won't come up with God any kind of haphazard way and wonder why the power of God won't fall. Sometimes we gotta act like the world. When they get up in front of a crowd, they got everything put together. But we want to come to God just haphazard. No, put your best for God. Put it forward. Because we're going for a prize. Let's go a little deeper. Man, I'm taking longer than what I thought. Read that for me, mother.
Discipline separates the real from the fake.
The real from the fake are separated by their level of discipline. Everybody can pretend, but discipline separates the real from the fake. All you got to do is have 7 people and y'all all go on the same diet. You'll find out how many people stuck to the diet. 2-3 weeks, everybody got cheat days. How do you have more cheat days than you have diet days? How did that work out? You lost your discipline. And discipline, it separates the real from the fake. But when it comes to the things of God, Guess what? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. There's a story about these. I don't want to give it all because it would take too long, but I'll just separate it this way. It's a quick way to say it. In the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus took three of his disciples with him. He took those inner three because they were pretty solid. But while they were up there experiencing what they were experiencing, down on the ground was his other disciples. And there was a man that came to him talking about his son and asking his disciples to pray for the son. And the disciples could not cast the demon out. Jesus had to come down off the mountain, come down and deal with the demon and fix everything. And they was wondering, why couldn't we have done it? Here's the thing, and I will explain all to you that Jesus said, but let me say it to you this way. Everybody ain't on the same level. And it's not that everybody can't be on the same level. All those disciples were all with Jesus, but some of them arose and some of them didn't. And there was even a Judas in the midst. Judas walked with Jesus every single day for 3.5 years, and he still ended up being the devil. There's some folk that come to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every time you open the door, but at the end of their life, they ain't nothing but a devil, because discipline will separate the real from the fake. And I don't want any lazy, raggedy, undisciplined Christians. I'm not talking about people who are struggling with life. We all go through that. I'm talking about people who are going through the motions. And you're talking about you living your vision every day. You can't be living your vision every day unless you're connecting with your creator continually. Unless you're locking into God. Unless you plan on communicating Christ's love compassionately. This is not a play thing. We go through hell and high water to have this church and to keep the doors open. Don't you come in here and play games. Discipline separates the real from the fake. You have some people who are on the outside and they tune into us every single time we go live. And they don't live in the city. There's people all across the country who are listening to us, watching us. And we got people who have been sending us money from other places. Don't you play with this thing. Deliverance Temple is somebody's church. It is somebody's ministry. And if you won't put forth the effort, somebody else will. I ain't talking to y'all because y'all about it. I already know it. Let's continue to read. Man, that's so good, but let's continue to read.
They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea.
Verse 3 and 4.
They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ.
He said, even in the wilderness, Christ was being manifested among the people. They all were experiencing the same thing, but let's look at this. Next verse, verse 5.
Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness.
What this point means, they all had the same access to the same God Moses prayed to the same Christ that was moving in the wilderness, the same God that brought them across the Red Sea, that brought them manna from heaven and quail from heaven. And the fact that their clothes didn't wear out, even their shoes didn't wear out, but God said he was displeased with most of them. And everybody died out except for those who were 20 and younger. Everybody else died out because here's the point. I want you to put this point out. We are all not the same. We all go to the same church. We pray to the same God. We read the same Bible. But we are all not the same. Because there are some people who are pressing for God. There are some people who are reaching for God. There are some people that Job said, I want God more than I want my necessary food. And there are some people that just are in the routine. I go to Deliverance Temple because my grandma went to Deliverance Temple. And my grandma's grandma went to Deliverance Temple. What's one of the favorite sermons that you ever heard preached at Deliverance Temple? Well, I don't know. What's their motto? What are they talking about? I don't know. I just go to church. Well, why are you just going to church?
Why do you just do anything without knowing why you do what you do? You have to have a reason. You got to have a passion. You have to have a determination. It's got to mean something to you.
But the reason why oftentimes the church has been failing, because we have people just going through the motions. There's an old communist saying that says religion is, and I'm paraphrasing, it's the drug for the people. In other words, some people get hooked on crack cocaine, and other people just get hooked on religion. In other words, I'm in pain, so I just go to church so to ease my pain, because when they sing the songs and when they preach, it makes me feel good. Then I go home, and I'm the same person. All you are is just hooked on church. You're not ever changing. Now, I'm glad you're in the building. I'm glad you're coming. But when you going to switch it for just something you do to get rid of your pain, to really tapping into the things of God? When are you going to take church home with you? That's one thing I loved about the pandemic. It made you understand the four walls of a building cannot be the apex of your relationship with God. You got to have something more than a Sunday morning and a Wednesday afternoon and a Wednesday Bible study. You got to have relationship with God throughout the week. And there are some Christians, if they close all the churches, they'd lose their mind. Because they don't know how to pray to God unless somebody pray for them. They don't know how to hear the scripture unless somebody read it for them. No, I'm showing you stuff that I'm trying to explain stuff to you that should spark something in you that make you want to study it for yourself. And yes, I know it can be boring. And yes, I know it can be hard. But if you really want it, you do the boring stuff. You do the hard stuff to press to what you want. That doctor who's making $350,000, ask him, was everything fun in a medical school? Ask him, was some of those books boring? Ask him, did it cost him something? Yes, but now he's making $350,000 because he went through the hard time to get to the good time. You got to be willing to go through the hard time. Sometimes you got to be willing to turn down your plate. You got to be willing to come to stuff. You got to be willing to come to services outside of the services that we have. Well, we only are here Sunday and Wednesday. That don't mean that's the only time you go to church. There's churches almost on every corner. If God tells you to go to church and there's a revival in the city, don't call me, ask me, can you go? Get up and go to the house of God. Now, if they're not preaching the word of God, you should know it because you've been in your word. Leave and go somewhere else. But don't expect the Living Simple to do everything for you. You got to grow on your own. Now, right now, how stupid would it look for my mother to be chewing up chicken and then take it out of her mouth and put it in my mouth so that I could eat? It made sense when I was 2, 3, 4 months old. But I'm 44 years old. I can't depend on her to feed me. And I don't know how you old you are in God, but I'm not chewing up everything and putting it in your mouth. Some of that you got to eat on your own. Well, I'm leaving the church because I ain't getting fed. You mean that only time you expect to get fed is in the church? That's your fault. Oh, man, I don't know why I'm fussing this morning. I ain't talking to y'all. Talking to the rebroadcast folk. Y'all just happened to come. 1 Corinthians 10 and 6.
Now these things occur as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they
do. One of the things, the Old Testament, they leave the things in there so that we can see examples. And sometimes you say, all that stuff is boring, but you look and you'll find examples. It's a story being consistently told. And the story that's consistently told throughout the Old Testament is God kept trying to work with man, and man kept turning his back on him. And then God got so crazy, he gave his one and only son to get man back. And here's the thing. If you've accepted that son, don't do like they did and keep turning your back on God. If you fall, crawl to God. If you mess up and say, God, I'm sorry. But don't turn back on God. God is all you got. If this pandemic and COVID didn't teach you anything, God is all you got.
You can't trust the government. We got folks so crazy, they're running into capitals, storming capitals. You don't hardly understand, was the election stolen? Was the election real? You can't trust the Democrats. You can't trust the Republicans. You better trust in God Most High. Can't trust the school system. One thing about COVID, it exposed the school system. They did this distance learning, and sometimes you got to stay on the school just to figure out what the kids are supposed to know, because they're doing Zoom calls and they don't know what they're doing. And I'm not trying to talk about them. It's because everything is a mess without God. And God tells the church, we have the answer. We're the answer for the world. So if the church doesn't be the church, if we're not salt and light in the earth, the Democrats won't get fixed. The Republicans won't get fixed. The money system won't get fixed. The education system won't get fixed. The entertainment system won't get fixed unless we do something.
But we can't do anything if we still going through the motions like everybody else. We need to be knowing what thus says the Lord. We need to know what stock to invest in. We need to know where to buy property. We need to be so in tune to God that Wall Street starts coming to us and pay us for our advice, because they'll pay a psychic for their advice, but they won't come to the church because we're not focused. But when we get focused, God will give us, the Bible says, witty invention. He'll give us wisdom out of this world. There's no real excuse for any Christian to be broke, because God knows where all the wealth is. We got to press in and tap into God, because there's some blessings with our name on it once we go for it. Now, here's the thing about God. God understands that heaven is amazing. So if you want to leave all the blessings on earth, you can, because you're going to get heaven. But there's an old saying, and I'm not saying that it's true, but there's an old saying that there's a room in heaven filled with a whole bunch of stuff. And somebody said, what is all this extra stuff? And they said, that's all the stuff that belonged to the people on earth, but they would never press hard enough to get it, so we could never send it. It's just collecting dust in heaven. And of course, it's just an example. But the example is this: how much stuff are you leaving on the table? How much stuff are you leaving undone? I like what Miles Monroe said: when you die, every person ought to die empty. You ought to give everything you got. You ought to have everything out of you. There are books in the grave. There are inventions in the grave. There's mindsets and wisdoms in the grave, because the people stopped. They quit. They wouldn't press. They wouldn't go all the way. I don't want to leave nothing in me. I want to give everything I got. I want to die empty. I want to die giving it my all. When it comes to the things of God, I want to be crazier than Bobby Knight and crazier than Michael Jordan. I want to give it my absolute all. All right, got to get us to a close, and we're going to close. I got to point out these things. 7 ways our mentality sets us apart from others. So now I'm going to preach it as if all of us are on the same page. We all have a winning mentality. This is how a winning mentality is set apart from any other mentality. So right now, today, accept that you have a winning mentality. Say it right now. I have a winning mentality. Come on, put your hands together and praise the Lord. I am everything. Now, we do confess it, but we got to line our confessions up with what we're confessing. Now I'm not talking about perfection. Because every person, Michael Jordan missed a bunch of shots, but the shots that count, he hit. And I need you to understand, you're not going to get everything right, but the stuff that counts, you're going to get it right, because you're going to press for it. And before I move on, I'm watching with my own eyes the evolution of my church. I'm seeing, do you understand that we have businesses popping up right here in Deliverance Temple? I can just name 4, and I think 4 of them that are right here right now. I can name my wife's business. I can talk about Sister Teresa, who just got a new logo for a business that she's working on. I can talk about Sister Ruth, who has a business. I can talk about Sister Jasmine, who has a Bell Bosman business. Right or wrong, call Jazz Long. I'll never forget that. I can talk about Brother Doug
and little Doug was what I want to call him, but Doug and Jaden and the supervisor, Sister Krista, who started a lawn care business, I'm looking at the blessings of God. But guess what? Money didn't fall out of the sky. They had to have a business plan, and they got to go do some work.
You can't call JLG to cut your grass, and they don't cut your grass, and then they show up and want some money. No, you're going straight out of business.
They have to do the work.
Just Friday, I was in my bathroom at my house, in my master bathroom, and I heard what I thought was a bird. Come to find out, Draylen was downstairs singing, but I thought I heard a bird. So I opened the bathroom window to look out to see the bird. But instead, when I looked out, I seen my neighbor's backyard, and I seen Brother Doug cutting. Then I seen Jaden cutting the other way. And I said, I only opened the window because I thought I heard a bird, but God wanted to show me he got your people doing something. He's blessing our people, but it's because we're doing the work. And every person I name that has a business, they are all faithful tithers and givers to Deliverance Temple. God is elevating us, but guess what? There's a whole nother level to come. So let's keep on pushing. Keep on pressing. Wherever you at, expect God to take you higher, because I have a winning mentality. About 3 years ago, and me and Sister Teresa talk about this all the time, I preached a message called, "This is My Winning Season." And so we've been in a winning season, but now we need to couple the winning season with a winning mentality so that we can have not just a winning season, but a winning lifetime. I'm tired of just a season. I want a lifetime. I want to win so much that I forgot how much I've won. I forgot how much I've accomplished. I've had people call me and thank me for what I said to them, told me I kept them from suicide, and I don't even remember talking to them because I've won so much. I've blessed so much. I've done so much through God and God in me. I want to forget all the things that I have done because I want to always be winning and always be moving forward.
All right, let's go and try to move through this. 1 Corinthians 10:7.
Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry.
Uh-oh. Let's put this up. One, we don't party the same.
You cannot be saved and want to be a winner and party like the world parties.
Now, I know I tell you that I'm not against y'all having some alcohol. And I'm not really one of those preachers that's judgmental. But let me tell you something. You can't party like the world. Don't tell me you saved and you drunk every week. Unless that's your struggle and you need prayer for that. But don't tell me you a strong, powerful Christian and you got to be in the club every single week. You got to be drunk every week. We don't party like the world parties. When we do go around the world, we don't feel comfortable in all the stuff that they do. Some stuff ought to irritate your spirit. It's okay to go to the family reunion. It's okay to be with some people here and there and every now and then. But one thing about a true Christian, you just don't feel comfortable everywhere. I can't do everything you do and still be in my winning season. I'm not judging you. You do what you want to do, but I can't do what you do and still be what I need to be.
Well, Pastor, what happens when they legalize marijuana? Legalize what you want to. I can't do everything and be what I need to be in this earth. I don't even want what the world wants. I don't want to be like that.
Well, Pastor, aren't you glad there's no strip clubs in monthly because you'll be tempted?
No, because when there was some, I wasn't tempted because I don't want that in my life and to be a good husband. I don't want, that's not my idea of fun because I'm saved. Some of us forget you are saved and your appetite should shift and your appetite should change. If you're going to win, you can't party like everybody else. And you shouldn't even feel comfortable doing it. Well, are you telling me what I can and cannot do? No. I'm just telling you what I'm going to do. Let me just say it like Joshua said it. As for me and my house, we going to serve the Lord. There's some stuff you're not going to find in my house. There's some stuff we're not going to do in my house. Do what you want to do, but don't be mad at my blessings, because there's some stuff that I will not do and will not allow. And guess what? While I'm on it, my kids can't go to everybody's house and spend the night with any and everybody. I don't care that you saved. I don't trust you, and I don't trust the uncles you got in your house. My kids staying in my house, because all kinds of stuff happens in the dark in the corner, and I'm not crazy. I pray for these babies, so I'm going to protect these babies. Well, you too protected. Well, listen, you didn't cry for them like I cried for them. I'm not letting anything happen and anything go on. And guess what? I love some of y'all, but some of y'all kids can't come to my house because y'all let too much devilment go on. You got to draw a line. Now, you don't have to be evil and mean and judgmental when you do it, but some stuff is for saved folk and sanctified folk. Some of y'all like this old sanctified priest. Some stuff is just for sanctification. All right, let me put that point back up. We don't party the same. Let me point this out. I heard when Kobe Bryant passed away, I heard Allen Iverson telling a story about Kobe Bryant. The first time they were in the same draft class. So the first time they played each other, and they knew each other from before, from AAU and all that kind of stuff. So the first time they were going to play each other, then they end up having a dinner together. So they had dinner, and they enjoyed each other. And Kobe asked Allen Iverson, "What are you doing when you leave here?" He said, "Man, I'm going to the party, and I'm going to do this, going to do that, such and such." And he said, "Kobe, what you doing when you leave here?" Kobe said, "I'm going to the gym." Now, Allen Iverson was great, but Kobe was on another level. So what Kobe said, listen, you could party, you could do what you want to do, but for me, I'm working on my craft. And one of the reasons why I can't party like the world, because I'm too busy working on what I'm working on. I got somewhere I'm going in this life. I got something I'm doing. I can't buy everything everybody else is buying and be as wealthy as I want to be. I can't run and get all the Jordans everybody else is doing, even though I got some on my feet right now. I can't get them all the time because I'm working on something. And don't be mad at my house if you got a car and 80 pair of Jordans. You could have traded in the Jordans and put a down payment on a house. You got to be willing to be a cut above and do something other folk won't do. I got plastic in my pocket, but I can't swipe it all the time. When you're paying 24 and 38% interest, tear that card up and put it in the trash unless you absolutely need it only. You cannot do what everybody else is doing. You can't have Gucci shoes if you can't afford Gucci shoes. Buy the knockoff ones and be happy with the knockoff ones until you build yourself to the level to get the real stuff. I got a bag I bring to church all the time, and it's a Coach leather bag, but that's not what I wanted. I wanted a Louis Vuitton leather bag, but it was $1,500. The Coach bag was $600 on sale for $150. So guess what I bring to church? I bring the $150 bag, and I'm just as happy with the $150 bag as I am. I could afford the $1,500, but that ain't what I'm trying to do. I got vacations I want to go on. I don't want to be looking at a bag and mad because I can't do what I want to do. You have to have a certain level of discipline. And if you can't get it, wait, build yourself up and get it. I can't keep up with the Joneses who don't like me anyway. I'm not a Jones. I'm a Mitchell. The Joneses don't care about me anyhow, so I'm going to be what I need to be. I can't keep up with everybody. I'm not Puff Daddy. Me and Devin is not Jay-Z and Beyonce. We can't dress like them. We don't make money like them yet. So while we're not doing that, we stay within our level, and we go to the highest level of our level, but I'm not jumping in another lane that I'm not prepared for. All right, enough of that. Let's go to the next verse. I can't stay on this one too long. Y'all might throw tomatoes.
We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day, 20.
Ooh, let me turn around. I ain't got to say a whole lot on that, because y'all saved, y'all sanctified. Y'all sanctified. Let me go to this point number two.
We don't sex the same if we saved.
That's all I'm gonna say. I know y'all can't take too much of that. Let me go to the next verse. Let me say it again. We don't sex the same if we're saved. Well, Pastor, I got caught up in something. I understand getting caught up in something. But a consistent lifestyle, you just in and out of every biz and you want to come in and raise your hand. I'm glad you're praising God, but sometimes you just need to sit down or sit on the altar and get delivered. Stop acting like you got everything together. Some of y'all need some delivery. And what bothers me is folk who know you're doing stuff in the back but got the nerve to judge other folk. You know your life ain't all that clean, but you want to come to church and pretend and dog somebody else out. But you know when the lights go out, you do any and everything. Don't come to me with that mess, because guess what? Sometimes God has exposed you. I just ain't said nothing yet. But be careful who you talk about in this church, because I'm going to have a conversation with you about your stuff. I don't want to talk about your stuff. So the best thing you ought to do is live saved the best way you know how. My grandfather told me, he said, it's funny because he's an old sanctified preacher. He didn't really cut no chase. He said, when you become a pastor, don't you be in all these fast girl faces. stay out of their face. You got a woman at home. Yes, sir, Grandpa. Yes, sir. But he telling the truth. Learn how to control your own vessel. You make a mistake, we understand that. But just a consistent lifestyle and you okay with it. And you will act like ain't nothing wrong. No, something is wrong. You are not winning in life the way you should, because some of those people you're attaching yourself to, they're bringing demons that you can't fight, and you're accepting them into your life, and you accept them into your psyche. And I can't counsel you out of all the mess that you keep laying down with, because you can't control your flesh. All right, enough of that. I'm sorry. Point number three.
Verse number nine. Read verse number nine. We should not test Christ as some of them did and were killed by snakes.
Verse three. We don't treat Christ the same. When you are a winner and have a winning mentality, you treat Christ different than some other people do. Listen, you do what you want with Christ, and you can, and listen, the way you believe it, that's okay. But there's some stuff I can't do. I can't do it with the Christ that I serve. Maybe you understand a different Jesus. The Jesus that I serve, I can't do that. The Jesus that I serve will not allow me to get on my phone and dog out Sister Hattie and act like I ain't said nothing. Call everybody in the church instead of talking to her. The Christ that I serve that does not let me do that. Maybe the Christ you serve lets you do that. But the Christ that I see, we are not the same. If you can dog out the person you go to church with and it doesn't hurt you, it doesn't bother you, we are not the same. Next verse, verse 10. Point number four, our attitude of gratitude is not the same. If you always have a complaint in your mouth, I love you, but we are not the same. Because I have a whole bunch of stuff I can complain about. But as the old song says, my good days outweigh my bad days, so I won't complain. That is not just a funeral song. That's a song to live by. If you count up all your losses, they don't amount to your wins. So how about you focus on your wins and tell yourself, I won't complain. Next verse, verse 10, 11, and then 10, 12.
On us, the age is going to end with us. So these are warnings. Let's go to that next verse, verse 12.
So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall.
Why would you bring up a message like this? Because we all have to be reminded. When you think you're okay, sometimes you got to double check yourself. The other day, I needed to get up on my roof. And so I needed my kids to hold the ladder so I can get up on the roof. And so I started off. And it was a little too shaky. I know, let me come down and do something different. And then I fixed it and I was able to get on the roof. But here's the thing about it. My kids weren't going to be able to stop me from falling. So once I noticed something was shaky, it looked solid. It looked okay enough for me to step on there. But once I put my 185 pounds on there, that ladder moved in ways I didn't want it to move. And I wasn't going to trust. And the problem was not only was it just my kids, it was Alana and Draylen. So they wasn't about to save me. So the best thing for me to do is come back down the ladder and fix it the best way I could. So here's the thing you got to understand. If your life is shaky in any way, don't keep going in that same direction. Walk back down and secure yourself. Because it's not worth it. All right, let's go to number five. We learn from others' examples. And we stay humble. I ain't got to go through a hellacious marriage. I can look at yours and change and do something different. You don't have to go yet. Let me tell you, young people, you do not have to go through everything. Some stuff you can skip by just listening to somebody else's story and staying humble. Don't ever say this, well, that won't happen to me. Don't you ever say that. You ought to make up in your mind, anything can happen to me. I could be addicted tomorrow. Anything can happen to me. Do you know people who are addicted right now? They went to the hospital for a routine surgery, was prescribed some medicine, and got hooked for the rest of their life. Anything can happen to you. You need to walk circumspectly and thank God for every breath you take, because not a day is promised. Look at your neighbor and say, stay humble. All right. Got to get us out of here. 1 Corinthians 10, 13a clause, read that.
No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind.
That brings me to point six. We keep things in perspective. Winners keep things in perspective. Losers, they think they're the only person going through. You ever heard counsel somebody that, I mean, they at their wit's end and you find out what they're going through and you realize, really? You mean you about to lose it all over that? See, a winner keeps a perspective. I'm supposed to be attacked. Things are supposed to go wrong. I'm supposed to have obstacles. If I was the devil and I looked at me, I'd be mad at me too. He's supposed to attack me. He's supposed to try to push me around. He's supposed to be mad at me. Why don't you buck up? Why don't you get some courage? Why don't you stop crying over everything and pull yourself together? You ought to face life and go through life and have a winning mentality. It's not supposed to be easy.
I know I'm going over, but just let me roll with it a little bit. Since I was on that sports theme, one thing I don't like about the sports today, especially NBA, everybody won't team up. What happened to competition? Back in the day, you wanted to split the best players up so y'all could compete. Now, folks just want to win. Let me just get everybody. The New Jersey or the Brooklyn Nets, they just piling folk on. They piling so many folk on that they're gonna mess around and make me root for LeBron, and I ain't never rooted for LeBron in my life. They're going to force me to root. You ought to be willing to go through something. If it's too easy, people who are winners don't ever want it too easy. They have the perspective that, listen, it ought to cost me something. All right, let's close this way. 1 Corinthians 10, 13.
No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man.
You're not special. Everybody go through this life. We all go through it. Millionaires as well as broke folk, we all go through stuff. You're not special. Read.
And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it.
Last and final verse. Or excuse me, last and final point from the final verse. We trust, this is what winners do, we trust that God will make us win in the end. That's why we don't flip out over every little obstacle, because we know in the end we're going to win. Don't wait till the battle is over. Shout now. Because we know in the end, we're going to win. If you know you're going to win, you got to act like a winner even when you are down.
See, one thing about Michael Jordan, they could be down 15 in the fourth quarter, and he was just say, give me the ball. Let me do what I got to do. I may be down. I may be broke right now. I may be depressed right now, but in the end, I'm going to win. I got a winner's mentality. I ain't going out like this. Fat lady, you can shut your mouth. You ain't singing on my watch. It ain't over till I win, and I'm not quitting till I win. I got a winner's mentality. I got a winner's mindset. I got a winner's anointing. I ain't backing up. I'm going to win. It ain't over until I win. I'm going to win. Not just in heaven. I'm going to win right now. I'm going to win in my marriage. I'm going to win in my money. I'm going to win in my ministry. I'm going to win in my family. I'm going to win in my business. I'm going to win in my church. I'm going to win in my health. I'm going to overcome the addiction. I'm going to overcome the lies. I'm going to overcome the oppression. I'm going to win. How about you say it? I'm gonna win. Come on, let's stand to our feet.